In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And having called his 12 apostles to him, Matthew lists their names. They went first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, proclaiming, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as we just sang in the hymn, our Lord is teaching us about himself as the Lord of the harvest, the people in the harvest, and the workers in the harvest field. The church includes the Lord of the harvest, his apostles, his pastors and teachers, and his people. And we are like farmers that are looking at a field that is ripe for harvest, which is the world, a harvest field filled with wheat, for example, full of people to be harvested into God's kingdom. During the summer, as you go across this great nation on vacations and you see the beautiful fields that are getting ready for harvest, whether it be corn or wheat or soybean. And when the farmer's crop is ready, he has to harvest it. And he gets his friends with their equipment and they come harvest the field. It's urgent so that the crop does not go to waste. The urgency of the gospel message is such that God appointed 12 apostles, given their names today, just like the 12 tribes of Jacob had their names. They were the Old Testament church, and the 12 apostles of the Lamb, their names are given, for they lead us in the New Testament church. And he gives us fathers on this National Father's Day, who in their vocation and calling bring their family and their loved ones to daily come to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And each and every baptized Christian, in your daily vocation and calling, there is a place for you to participate in the work of this farming enterprise, God's harvest field. The Lord God, through Christ and in our baptism, has made the New Testament church and all believers in Christ through all time, from Adam and Eve till the end of time, his saints, his treasured possession, his kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. Because we are God's workers, because we have been brought into his field, what is the unique work then of the church? The church is like no other institution, because it's not an institution, it's people. People who through towns and villages of this world, Jesus continues through the church and the word and sacraments, through his pastors and teachers and his people, to have compassion on a world of sheep that is without a shepherd and a world harvest that is in need of workers. Briefly this morning, let's first consider the plentiful harvest of people in the world, the Lord of the harvest, and then the workers in the field. The plentiful harvest of people. Jesus went through cities and villages, to urban areas and to rural areas. He would go to the synagogue, which was the Jewish place of worship, and teach there. But he would also go to the crowds that were countless thousands of people outside, whether they be on the hillside or around the lake, once Jesus preached a sermon from a boat, because all the people were along the beach. Wherever he went, he needed to help them understand why they were sheep without a shepherd, and they were harassed and helpless. The law of God shows us that since the sin of the first Adam in the garden and his trespass, mankind is not just weak. Mankind without Christ are ungodly enemies of God. And the proof of that is sin and death. Without Christ, we are sheep without a shepherd. We feel harassed and helpless because we cannot rescue ourselves. Jesus sees this plentiful harvest of souls, and he knows it's urgent that God provide workers. He says, the laborers are few. Pray earnestly that God will send laborers into this harvest field. Imagine the world like a field, and you're looking out and you don't see grain, you see the fields of wheat, you see fields of people, men, women, children of all colors of skin, of all nationalities, harassed and helpless. And the love of Jesus, so that we see this harvest field and the urgency of this work. Now, of course, Jesus would go teaching and preaching from town to town the gospel of the kingdom and healed every disease and affliction, had compassion on the people. We are called to bring Christ's healing power to people who are feeling harassed and helpless, and to have compassion on everyone. Behold the plentiful harvest around you on your street corner, in our community, wherever we go. So many people without a shepherd. But this plentiful harvest of people in the world is seen by the Lord of the harvest. This Lord of the harvest is pictured as in two ways in this text. Jesus is the true shepherd who wants to save his sheep. Jesus is the Lord of the living harvest who wants to bring in the grain. Jesus did this, and this continues today through teaching and preaching, through healing and cleansing, freely giving the good news of the kingdom of heaven as the apostles were sent out and gave us the New Testament, where we proclaim the sacrificial death on the cross and the glorious resurrection of Christ. And Jesus, the one who healed the sick, who raised the dead, who cleansed the lepers and cast out demons, who sent the 12 apostles as the New Testament church, the new Israel, to go out and do the same, this Lord of the harvest is the shepherd, the good shepherd who became the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. This Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. It is his harvest, not ours. Even we in the church have to remind ourselves, this church, this gathering of believers, this harvest field is the Lord's harvest, not ours. We are called to work in his harvest field because in Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the person of King Jesus, the kingdom is present. St. Paul, speaking about our King Jesus in the epistle lesson, says that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He is God's Son, second person of the Trinity. He, in his full name, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also the second Adam, the one man who would come to undo the curse that was brought into the world by the first Adam. Now in the man, Christ, the second Adam, the curse is reversed. How? Christ died for ungodly sinners. Christ didn't wait for you to get your act together before he died for you. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. While they were nailing him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God's love is seen tangibly in Christ crucified. What Paul says when he says we have been justified by his blood, which means declared righteous in God's courtroom, when he says we've been saved from God's wrath, meaning the fires of hell and God's wrath of judgment that will come in the last day and all unbelief, we have been saved from that wrath. We have been rescued from the fire. We have been reconciled to God by his death. We are not enemies with him anymore. We are his friends. God the Father in heaven connects to you and me through his Son, Jesus, who is our reconciler, our intercessor. So we are friends with God, reconciled to him through the body of his Son. Paul says, you are saved by his life. You rejoice in God in this gift and grace because the obedience of the one, the second Adam, has reversed the disobedience of the first Adam. And in Christ and through faith in the Lord of the harvest, we are accounted righteous before God the Father. That's the Lord of the harvest, my friends. That's the shepherd who loves you and calls you by name. I want to serve that shepherd. I want to serve this Lord of the harvest. And you as a Christian do as well. How, beginning with the apostles, and now the pastors and the teachers and the people that serve in the church, does God continue to use you and me as workers in the harvest field? If you follow the book of Acts, you know Jesus started with 12. He also sent out 70. Later he sent out, there was 120. And then there was 500. And then in the book of Acts, there was 3,000. And now there are millions of people who've been brought into this harvest field. Pray to the Lord to provide more laborers into the harvest field. What this means is that we don't berate people. We don't like guilt trips on them to get more involved in your church. We pray. We pray that God puts it in your heart that you want to serve. So if you hear that we need a new Sunday school teacher, we pray that God puts it in your heart and you're a Sunday school teacher. We pray for the Lord for people in the harvest, and we say we need people in the choir, and you want to sing in the choir. Because God puts it in your heart to provide for workers in the harvest. We begin first by praying on our knees. And God is the one, amazingly, brings laborers into the harvest that you never even knew about. The banner up here says, "The harvest is waiting. Here am I. Send me." I have a brother-in-law who was a missionary in Papua New Guinea, and I had him preach at my church one time in Colorado when he was on a furlough about mission work in Papua New Guinea. This was the title of his sermon. "Here I am. Send him. Send him." That's not what the hymn said. "Here am I. Send me." I had a poster in my bedroom as a kid from the Second World War. It was a picture of Uncle Sam, and he was pointing like this, and he said, "I need you. Uncle Sam wants you." No matter where you walked around the room, you could not escape that finger pointing right at you. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he points at you and says, "I need you," whatever your talent and ability is, you can't look around and say, "Are you pointing at someone else? Is there someone behind me?" No, I want you. I want you to be a Sunday school teacher. I want you to be in the choir. I want you to help with the evangelism. I want you to be a good father and a good mother and an obedient child. Praying the Lord, and He will provide workers in His harvest. You notice that He gives us the name of the 12 apostles, and when you were hearing the vicar read the names, a lot of the stories came back to you, didn't they? When Jesus chose these 12 apostles, the New Testament church, which replaces the Old Testament tribes of Israel, the New Israel, what did you think about Simon, Peter? You know about him, that bold one who's always listed first. And his dear brother Andrew, both of them were fishermen. And then James and John, sons of Zebedee, they also were fishermen. We know quite a bit about Philip and Bartholomew. You know about Thomas. Though he doubted when he saw the marks, he said, "My Lord and my God." You know about Matthew. We learned about him last week, who left the tax collector's booth, followed him. He wrote this gospel. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon, the Canaanite. And sadly, Judas Iscariot, who would betray him. They went first to the lost sheep of Israel with the gospel, bringing it to the Jews. Then, out to the Samaritans and to the Gentiles later. God was bringing back His people, the people of Israel and the people of all nations, and He started with these 12 apostles who were pictured in the book of Revelation around the throne of God and around the Lamb. God has also provided many fathers in the faith for us on this National Father's Day. Consider your grandfather, your father, and those of you who are fathers. My grandfather was a dentist, but he was a Sunday school superintendent for 25 years at our church. My father was a house painter. He was also one of my Sunday school teachers. Anyone who has a heart can teach children the love of God. And men, we need you to teach not only here, but to teach your families at home. And those of you who are fathers now, it is your responsibility, and that's why I'm starting to have these breakfasts, to encourage us in our walk as men and as fathers. You are called to be a disciple first. Secondly, a husband to your wife if you're married. Thirdly, a father to your children. Fourth, you are a worker. And fifth, you're a citizen in your community. And God grant you the ability to juggle those difficult roles as a father, as God has called you to do with joy. But every man, woman, young adult, teenager, and child can serve Jesus in the harvest field. People today are still brought into the harvest of God's grace through word and sacrament. Whether it's a little child inviting a friend to vacation Bible school, or whether it's you taking a casserole to the woman next door who just got out of the hospital, there are many things and many ways that you can serve. If you are asked to help with Sunday school or vacation Bible school, prayerfully consider saying yes. To sing in the choir, to ring a bell in the bell choir, to help with Lutheran Women's Missionary League, with our senior citizens group. This is part of the harvest field. If you're asked to serve as president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, financial secretary, councilman at large in our church, this is work in God's harvest field. If you help as an elder in evangelism, in education, in endowment, stewardship, the school board, or as a trustee, this is all work in God's harvest field. May we continue as one family to carry out the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be in our church or school or campus ministry, and especially in the living out of your everyday life. For there's one reason why the church exists, to bring forth those people in God's harvest field into the barn of heaven. Let us pray to the Lord of the harvest to provide laborers and workers in his harvest. And may those workers include you. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.